Welcome to Nightlife, the podcast.
I'll play this for you. I want you to tell me, have a listen, if you have any idea to what these five words that I'm about to play you mean.
Kaya.
Matu Karu.
Ayang.
Kikikanmin.
Yanga Ninji.
Well, that's the word for hello in five different Indigenous languages from around Australia. And how do we know this? Well, you can find all of these words on a great website that's chronicling 50 unique words from all of our surviving Indigenous languages, making them available for every Australian to hear and learn. The University of Melbourne's 50 Words Project began 7 years ago. It's just reached a huge milestone with 50 words from 100 different Indigenous languages. Rachel Nordlinger is a professor in linguistics at the University of Melbourne. She's co-lead of the 50 Words Project. She joins us now on Nightlife. Hello, Rachel. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about how many Indigenous languages there were when Europeans first settled Australia and compared to how many there are now.
Well, there were. The short answer is there were hundreds and hundreds of different languages spoken across the continent before European invasion arrival. Maybe more than 1,000 different ways of speaking across the continent. And from an Indigenous perspective, they're all different languages. From a linguist perspective, we might get strict about trying to work out which ones are dialects of the same language and which ones are different languages. And even if we do that, we still end up with around 330, some people say 400 different languages across the continent. So lots and lots of language diversity across Australia.
Yeah, and how many are left today?
Well, it depends a bit on what we mean by that. Recent estimates are that there's about 12 to 15 that are still being learned by children as a first language and used by whole communities on a daily basis. So that's an indicator of, you know, very strong languages that are still being actively learned and used. There's maybe another 80 or so that are spoken by older people in their communities but not being learned by children anymore. And then there are, of course, many sort of, 20, 30, 50, 80 different languages that are being revived by their communities around Australia. So there's lots of languages in different states of use, I suppose.
Yeah. Why did colonisation have such a devastating effect on Indigenous languages?
Oh, well, there's so many reasons for this. I mean, one very clear reason is that for a long period of time, there were very active and intentional policies of governments and education departments and missions to really move everybody from speaking Indigenous languages to speaking English. So children up until fairly recent times were still punished at school if they were speaking Indigenous languages. Children living in dormitories in missions in the sort of right up until the 50s and 60s were punished for speaking their own languages. So there were some very direct and explicit sorts of policies that led to that, but also just lack of recognition of languages in schooling systems means that English gets prioritised and then English becomes a sort of more powerful or more important language for people to speak, and so that can lead to languages not being spoken as much anymore. And then in the early days, well, in fact, for quite a long time in the early sort of colonization period, there was lots of movement of people, often forced movement, or sometimes people moved for work and things. So communities got quite mixed in a way that they hadn't been before, which meant that people needed to find a new language to speak to each other if they didn't share languages. And so often English or a variety of English became one of those. So there's lots of different things that all come together to lead to language shift.
And Rachel, why is it that some languages survived while others didn't? Is there a pattern to that that you can pull out?
No, that's the sort of million-dollar question in lots of ways. I wish we knew. I mean, there are some obvious correlations. So that the more populated parts, that you know, the parts of Australia that were more populated by the English and the other immigrants who came with them, are also the places where Indigenous languages tended to suffer the most. And so the more isolated regions, the languages have tended to stay stronger. But that's not always the case. There are some very isolated places where languages got lost and some quite populated places where languages are still strong. So it's a bit hard to give one answer to that. Yeah, lots of different reasons that lead to languages shifting or staying strong. Mm.
Rachel Nordlinger is here, a professor in linguistics and director of the Research Unit for Indigenous Language at the University of Melbourne. Now, some people will say, well, why does it matter? Everyone needs to speak English anyway, so why should we worry about keeping Indigenous languages alive? What do you say to that?
Yeah, well, I think that's a really sad way of thinking about the world. For all sorts of reasons, it matters. I mean, it matters for the Indigenous people themselves because their languages are important to them. They're connected with their histories and their cultures and their language, their ancestors, their songs, their stories. So a lot of culture and history and song and ceremony is all tied up in language, and those things often don't get translated when the language stops being spoken, so that all that knowledge and culture can just be lost. So it's very important in that way. It's also very important. Languages are very central to identity, and I'm sure that many of the people listening to us now are speakers of other languages and will know what I mean when I say that when you speak, you feel different and you connect differently with the world when you speak different languages, that languages are not just a direct translation of each other. Each language makes you think about the world differently and talk about the world differently, and you feel different when you speak them. And so you can't just sort of say, well, let's just get rid of this one and speak that one instead and not have some sort of loss or impact of that. But also as a linguist and as a language scientist, I would say that these languages are also really important because they tell us something about what it means to be human. The many hundreds of ways in which humans talk about the world, categorize the world around them, this is all reflected in different languages. And in my view, if the only language in the world was English, it would be a very, very sort of sad and uninteresting place, because languages are fascinating and humans do fascinating things with languages. And the more that we can keep this diversity in it, then the more we can appreciate it and enjoy it.
Yeah. Now, another question, which I mean, has already come in from a listener, you know, why should non-Indigenous Australians care and get engaged with Indigenous languages, Rachel?
Well, because they're interesting and fascinating, and I know there are lots of people who love language as I do, and you know, these are languages like any other language that give you something to enjoy if you enjoy languages. I think it's also a great way to show respect and appreciation of Indigenous people and Indigenous culture, and there are a lot of Australians who are very concerned about doing that and working towards a respectful reconciliation with Indigenous communities. So engaging with their languages is a really great way to do that, because language is really important to Indigenous communities. So if you connect with that, you can get a deeper understanding of their perspective, their culture, and show some appreciation of that.
All right. Well, so tell me about the 50 Words Project. What's the whole concept behind it and how does it work?
Okay. So the project is led by myself and my colleague Nick Teeberger, and we are non-Indigenous linguists who have worked for decades with Indigenous communities around Australia on all sorts of language-related projects. And we were really conscious of the fact that there's a lot of people who would be interested to know more about Indigenous languages, and it's very hard for the broader Australian community to engage with them and to learn anything about them. And so we thought it would be great to have a project that would showcase these languages in a way that really prioritises Indigenous voices and Indigenous permission for people to listen to these words and learn the words. So the project is it's a website. If you Google 50 Words Project, you'll get to the website. And the website includes recordings of words in currently 100, in fact, I think it's now 101 Indigenous languages across Australia, and there's more coming. And every word that's provided on the website has an audio recording that is spoken by a community member, a person who speaks that language and who has given permission for these words to be made available on this public website. So that means that people can enjoy the website, listen to the words, learn something about Indigenous languages, gather some appreciation of them, and know that they are doing it with permission from the Indigenous communities themselves, that they can access these words and play them and learn them and know that the Indigenous protocols have all been met.
Yeah. Now, I've got a couple of examples for everyone. For example, this is father in the Pitjantjatjara language.
Mama.
Which sounds very much like mama, ironically enough.
It's a funny coincidence. You always find funny coincidences in language, and that is one, that the word for father in Pitjantjatjara is mama.
Yeah. And another from Pitjantjatjara, which is dog.
Papa.
Which sounds like papa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why 50 words? Why not 10? Why not 100? Why did you settle on 50?
We wanted to have enough words to really show and have words from a lot of different domains of life. So we've got some animals, and we've got kin terms, and we've got words for weather, and we've got phrases for hello and where are you going and what's your name and those sorts of things. So we wanted to have more than a handful. We wanted to have enough that we could really have a few different meanings there. But we wanted it to be an achievable, manageable amount. Everybody who's contributed to this website has done it voluntarily, and we didn't want to make it a big task for anyone to contribute. We wanted to make it fairly achievable, fairly manageable, even for communities where the language is just being relearned and revived, and the community may not have a lot of language knowledge left. And 50 words is much more achievable than 100 or 200, for example.
So are some of the languages that are featured languages that are kind of teetering on the edge a bit, or are these all languages in fairly good shape?
I would never want to describe a language as teetering on the edge, but it's there's the whole range there. We have languages there that are being learned by children and spoken every day by their communities. We've got languages up there that are being revived by their communities at the moment, and for some communities, getting their words up on the 50 Words website has been a sort of early goal in their language revival journey. It's the sort of first step to sort of get their language on the map. So that's a huge achievement. That's a very, very long, painstaking, difficult process to go through old sources and find words in a language that isn't being spoken anymore, and then relearn it and get confident to pronounce all the different sounds and record it and get it up on a website. So we have all of the different stages of language reflected in our website at the moment. Mm.
I've got Rachel Nordlinger here, Professor in Linguistics and Director of the Research Unit for Indigenous Language at the University of Melbourne. Grant in Waterloo just wanted to make a contribution. Hi, Grant.
Yeah, hi, Suzanne and Rachel. Interesting thing. Just even the older and supposedly more across you come, that you find out even the so-called English language isn't a hard and fast standard language. It's no one language. It's a combination of Middle French, Old French, Middle German, Old German, Middle Old English, combination of different words. So it's how the language evolves and is continuing to evolve. So that's one point. And if the languages were to become extinct, it's very hard to actually then go back.
No, I accidentally dropped Grant off.
Oh dear.
No, that was entirely an own goal, that one. Grant, I'm very sorry if you were.
Grant. His first point, yes, absolutely. English is, I mean, all languages change and evolve all the time and come into contact with other languages and borrow words from them and create new structures. So English is certainly an example of that. It's changed enormously over its lifetime. And also there are many, many different ways of speaking English in the world today. So that's certainly true, and that is true of Indigenous languages as well. Yeah.
Now, Rachel, you know how when you learn some words from another language, often you pick up some swear words. Everyone finds it like just a little bit exciting to pick up some swear words.
Yeah.
And do Indigenous languages actually have a version of swear words?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There are plenty of swear words. I think every language has swear words, and often with very similar sorts of meanings. The same sorts of taboo topics get made into swear words in lots of languages. We don't have any swear words on the 50 Words website.
Well, sure, you're keeping it clean. I imagine
we're keeping it clean. Yes,
maybe exactly. Someone could befriend somebody if they're anxious to find
exactly.
out. Yeah, and there would probably even be Indigenous words that most Australians. I mean, we know about Kylie, we know about boomerang, and a few other words, but there are probably other ways in which Indigenous words have actually entered our vocabulary that we're not even aware of.
Oh yeah, there's lots of place names, of course, and words like kangaroo and you know, all those sorts of words that have come from Indigenous languages and often changed their meanings along the way. I mean, kangaroo now is used with a much more general meaning. It's from the language Gugu Yimidir, which is spoken up around what's now called Cooktown, and in that language, ganguru is actually just the word for a particular type, the I think it's the grey kangaroo, a particular type of kangaroo, not the whole sort of general species like we use the word for now.
Okay, I found Grant. Grant, I'm very sorry. I think you had a story before I cut you off, though, about going up to the top end.
Yep, going a bit more inland and up to the top end. From Cooktown, if you go to the Kakadu region, there is the Mirra people who are up near where the Ranger uranium mine is and a few other things. Went over there as very keen uni students from all across Australia to find out from their culture. And the lady there, Yvonne Margaru, who's a very wise lady there, who's a traditional owner, carried over from her father, and she's sitting down and having a discussion, and we're having dinner sort of thing, and she took the time to apologise to us all for her supposed lack of, you know, English. Okay, she might not have been a professor of English in the way she spoke, but, you know, everyone could understand her. And we're like, no, you don't need to apologise to us about that. You know, we're on your traditional language. We're quite understanding of your language. And by the way, Yvonne, we're very well aware that you speak not only English and also what the Mirra speak, but being in highly connected with all of the tribes in the Kakadu region, you only speak about another five or six languages. So
Exactly.
Anyway, I'll let you go, and all the best. And
have a nice
trip. Grant,
thank
sorry,
you.
Sorry again about hanging up on you there. most unintentional. Rachel Nordlinger is here. We're talking about Indigenous languages, and particularly about this 50 Words project. So how would, if anybody's listening and they want to go to the site and have a look, how would people interact with it?
So when you first get onto the 50 Words website, what you see is a map of Australia with a whole lot of words all over it, and a lot of them are in white, and some of them are in Orange, and they're all different language names that are across the country. So in Indigenous, for Indigenous communities, language is inherently connected to country. And so every part of Australia is associated with a different language. And the Orange language names are the languages for which we have recordings on the site. And the White language names are all of the other languages that we're still hoping we might be able to add to the site one day. And so you can click on a language and you can see the 50 words written down, and you can click and hear each one spoken by the speaker of that language. You can also, when you choose a language, just under the language name, there's a speaker that you can click on, and you can hear the language speaker pronounce the name of the language, which is actually really important, because we don't really have any other way of knowing how to properly pronounce Indigenous language names. So that's a really useful feature. Mm-hmm. And another great feature is up on the top left side, you can switch over to word view instead of language view. And then you can choose one of the English words and click on it and have a look at that word in all the languages that we have data for so far across the map. Mm-hmm. So that's a great view, because you can look at how words are similar in some parts of the country and how they're different. And sometimes languages that are very close together have quite different words, and sometimes languages that are very far apart have similar words. And so there's lots of different ways you can sort of engage with the website and find out interesting things.
Now, Rachel, delightfully, we have a few people who are actually sending in SMSs written in Indigenous languages. I'm a little concerned about stuffing up the pronunciation completely, but I'm going to give it a go. Charmaine says, Kaya Yoga, Nyankweri Charmaine, Nunuk Mudich Buddha. Do you happen to know what that means, or which language that might be from, Rachel?
No, I don't. There are so many hundreds of languages. I do not claim to know them all, but good on her. That's
Charmaine helpfully sends a follow-up SMS with English. Says, hello, ladies. My name is Charmaine. Are you strong? Bye. From Charmaine.
Oh, so fabulous. I wonder which language it is. Tell us.
Yeah, Charmaine, do tell us. Yeah. Now, someone else just wonders, is the S sound used in Indigenous languages? I haven't seen the sound in Indigenous place
names. No, it's not. A lot of those, what linguists call fricative sounds, like S and F and V and Z and sounds like that, are not generally found in Indigenous languages. They have other sounds that we don't have, but they don't have those ones.
Someone else says, do you know the rather nifty word ninty that means clever?
Well, in which language?
Well, I learned it from kids, likely Pijinjara or Walpiri from Central Australia.
Ah, okay.
I learned it because in the 1980s I had the pleasure of visiting a school at Docker River, since renamed with an Indigenous name, which is west of Uluru.
Oh, right, yes. So that would be one of the Western Desert languages in that part of the world, which aren't languages that I have worked on myself, but it's probably Pijinjara or Ngandjara or one of those. That's not a word I know.
Okay. Now, Charmaine has told us that is Noongar from southwestern WA Noongar.
Noongar, yeah. Excellent. That's a big, big language over in the southwest of Western Australia.
Charmaine, thank you very much. It was great to hear from you. Now, I think that's about all we have time for, unfortunately, Rachel. Just give us that website if people do want to go on it and have a play around and see what words they can find.
Yeah, it's the 50 Words Project. Which, if you just Google 50 Words Project, or go to 50words.online, 50 as in 50. And, yeah, please enjoy it, spread the word. It's a great way to connect with Indigenous languages and get some appreciation for how fascinating they are.
Very, very ninty by the sounds of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Thank you. There's Rachel Nordlinger. Rachel's a professor in linguistics and director of the research unit for Indigenous language at the University of Melbourne.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife.
You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.